Our good, good Father, we come to you. You are the way maker. You are the God through the Spirit who gives us peace in the midst of situations that truly, are challenging, are hard. And you offer us a peace. You offer us your presence in profound ways in the midst of those challenging circumstances. Maybe it's bad news. Maybe it's, just some challenging stuff you heard from the doctor. Maybe it's just the uncertainty of a situation. Maybe it's with a family member. God, I don't know what everyone is facing, but I know that life sometimes is very challenging. And so, God, we ask for your presence. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your direction. We ask for your way in the midst of these situations. So thankful that you are with us today, God. We pray that you'll be with the Durlu and Sunbee family as they go through this time and gather together. I pray that they'll have a wonderful time in a lot of ways of celebrating Pete's life and enjoying some great memories as a family. But God, I also know that in the midst of that will be some tears and some ache. And so, God, please, thank you. Be with them, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the new year. Christmas is a while ago. We're back to the series, Kingdom Come. And what this series is really all about is just an acknowledgement with Jesus that, truthfully, life is always going to be better with a little more Jesus, a little more God, a little more of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're saying. That his kingdom would come, that there would be more of him in our lives, in the lives around us, in the church life, in your personal existence, in your family's existence, in your, job existence, where you go to work, where you go to play your sports, where you go to do your crafts, I don't know, whatever it is that you do, is that there would be more of God, more of him, that his kingdom would come, that his will be done in your life and in the world in which we live, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this series is all about. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about the concept of sharing. Now, Steve and Sarah are getting ready to have just the cutest little baby on the planet. Hey, right? Like, going to be amazing, this little baby. There's never going to be a cuter one than Steve and Sarah's. That's what we think as parents. It's awesome. One of the things that they're going to face in the not-too-distant future is this terrifying moment that all parents face as they're bringing their cute little toddler, right, into this gathering of cute little toddlers. And they're going to walk up, and it could be here at the church as you're handing this cute little thing to, the caregivers there. And they're going to see this other little toddler in there, and that other little toddler is going to have the toy that Steve and Sarah knows is their child's favorite toy. Right? Oh my goodness, what do we do now? Because now we're testing the sharing ability of those little toddlers, and it freaks us parents out. Because we've all seen our little toddler, as cute as they can be, they're sitting there playing with something, and uh-oh, here comes this little toddler. Dun, 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 dun. You almost have a Jaws music theme going and coming towards the other baby, and you're just hoping that somehow your sweet little angel will turn, I don't know what age we get better at this, but then we'll all of a sudden just, oh, you can have this and play now. No, normally there's a little bit of this going on, and then there's this big arm, fat little pudgy hand comes flying out from this other child and tries to share her with the other person. You see, sometimes sharing isn't easy as we think. And it's a challenge for toddlers and how we interact with life and how we share. And sometimes it's a challenge for us as Christ followers, as those who would call Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. So we want to talk a little bit about this morning. Now, when we read the story of Jesus, we've just done that, right? Like, we've just gone through Christmas and we've read the first part of the story of Jesus, right? We've got the whole, traveling to the hometown thing and the whole, the cave deal and the angels, and all of those kinds of experience, Mary pondering these things in her heart, and we've got that part of the story down. When we read the story of Jesus, when he grows up, and we start to see him interacting with people, one of the things that we discover is that when people personally encounter Jesus, they never stay the same. There's never just sort of a reaction to Jesus. It's usually pretty intense. There's something fairly powerful, if you like, sort of combustible that's going on when people interact with Jesus. I mean, people would hear about him, and they would come, and they would see, and they'd bring family and friends. They'd cut holes in roofs and drop people down into the home to be healed. Like, it's unbelievable the kinds of responses and things that would happen. When they would go away, they would talk about, this guy's amazing. Like, have you ever seen someone interact, deal with a situation quite like that? Have you ever heard someone talk about that? Have you ever seen someone do something like that? There's quite a reaction to Jesus, and then sometimes there's the equal and opposite reaction. It's just like, who does he think he is? All right, we got to figure out how to deal with this guy. We got to somehow put him away, like literally get rid of him. You see, there's really not any middle ground. There's intrigue around Jesus. There's no doubt about that. When you watch and when you read and when you discover how he interacts with people of authority, that's pretty intriguing. When you watch and see how he interacts with women and children and other men, like, it's just fascinating to watch him. It's interesting when you see him interact with outcasts, because when Jesus was around, there was no outcasts. I mean, who people sort of shunned, lepers and all that, who would kind of be like, we're not going to go anywhere near him. When Jesus was around, they were a part of the group. Jesus was really, it undersells it, was quite radical. When people personally encounter Jesus, things really do change. Now, I want you to take some time this morning to think about this question. There will be others too, but this is the first one. What do you love about Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about his teachings. His teachings are amazing, okay? I'm not saying his teachings aren't great, but I want to know, what do you love about him? Relational terms. What is it that you love? For example, if I were to introduce you to my friend Steve, like, I wouldn't sort of go, oh yeah, here's my friend Steve, and sort of give you the Wikipedia page of Steve, right? Like, that's not really the way you introduce somebody. No, I'd talk about our friendship. I'd talk about, you know, how many years I've known him and what kind of a guy he is and, you know, the kind of friend he is to me. They don't need the Wikipedia page. They don't need to know that, you know, all of those things. They might come to discover those things, and that might be okay. But that's not really how I introduce a friend. What do you love about Jesus? How would you introduce Jesus to a friend? Not his teachings. Friend, relational terms. What would that look like? How would that sound? And what has Jesus done? How has Jesus changed your life? How has Jesus changed how you maybe see life, how you go through something, how you went through this past year, how you're going to face a difficult time? Because isn't that what friends do? Friends walk with us and help us, and we experience life together, and we talk in those kinds of terms. Can we talk about Jesus? Can we share Jesus in those kinds of terms? It's something to consider. Now, the sharing of Jesus is done in just numerous ways. It takes place in various kind of ways and ideas and actions and in words and all of these things. And so there's three passages in the New Testament, Colossians, 1 Peter, and Titus, that share just a few thoughts as well on how we if you like, talk about Jesus, how we would share Jesus, what that might look like, how that would feel and all. So, for example, Paul in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, he's talking to the people there, talking through a letter. And he's sharing in there that, you know, could you pray for me? Because I'm in a bit of a tough spot right now. I'm actually in jail. And I'm in jail because I was sharing to others about my friend and Savior and Lord Jesus. And because I was talking about him, and I wasn't talking down about him, I was actually talking about how I think he's amazing, I've now been put in jail. Could you pray that I might have opportunity to share about him while I'm in jail? Because that could be hard. Because there could be some moments where I'm feeling like I don't want to share him because he's the reason I'm here. But I also might sort of share him in a different way. And you see, in these verses, in verses 1 to 6, he asked that not only would he have opportunity, but that when he did share Jesus, he would share him, it says there, full of grace. That he would be full of grace when he shared Jesus. Seasoned with salt. You are in jail. The very people that are holding you there, you're trying to share this story about Jesus, your Savior, your friend. They're the ones that are holding you there for the very fact that you've done that, and now you're feeling you need to share it, but he's saying, can you make sure, could you pray to make sure that I share it with grace? Well, that sounds easy. No, not really. See, we've got to learn how to let Jesus truly, radically transform us. See, when you read the story of Jesus, you have all kinds of situations where Jesus was talking with people who opposed him. And we can learn a thing or two from Jesus and how we respond and how we process it. Now, we're offering next week, by the way, this is part one of sort of part two. Part one of part two? No. Part one of a two-part series. How's that? Next week, Mark Naylor, one of our missionaries who is often at the CBC campus, is going to be sharing part two. And what Mark's going to be sharing with us on is this concept of having significant conversations and how we have them. That we would be able to have these significant conversations, these things that really matter, like going beyond the weather, going beyond this amazing run the Canucks are on. They are. If you don't know, if you're not aware, keep up. That we would go beyond that kind of stuff and be able to have these significant, these crucial types of conversations. What Mark's going to do is we had one in October, we're going to have another one on January 24th on Friday night here. And what it is, it's a coaching experience where he's going to come along and he kind of coaches us on how we can have conversations that are not adversarial. Conversations that where at the end of the conversation, when we've talked about something that could be a little bit jacked up, could be a little bit, you know, serious and intense maybe at times, but at the end of it, we can go, that was good. I didn't necessarily always agree with you, but that was good. You see, I think when we're having conversations like that, we're having them with full of grace and seasoned with salt. We're speaking in such a way of there's a gentleness and there's a respect quotient level of interaction going on. And so there's going to be this coaching. We're going to have one here in January, on January 24th, and then there will be another one later in February, and probably another one either in early or late April or early May. And the reason for these sort of drop-ins is because we learn as we go. So I want to encourage you to come and check that out. If you struggle with maybe just how to share your faith, just having a good conversation, I'd encourage you with that. Now, I'm supposed to be standing right here right now with four little resources that I'm supposed to sort of span out in front of you so you can see the four different books. Pretend, okay? The four different books are on the Resource Center. They're right over there in the lobby. One's called Crucial Conversations. This is not a book about faith. It's just literally, how do I have critical, crucial, significant conversations without wanting to kill the person across the table? It's essentially what it is. Does that sound applicable to home, work, or anywhere? Yeah, good book. Then there's three other books, one of which I can tell you, Open Space. The other one is called The Art of Non-Evangelism, Speaking of Jesus. Fantastic book by Carl Medeiros. There's four books there. I don't care if you buy one or all four. I kind of would like you to buy one. And here's the reason. I've been doing this for 30 years. One of the things that I know that's one of the trickiest things that we do in life is how we share things that really matter to us with others. I mean, it's just across the board. It's all age categories. It's a challenge to share these things that matter deeply to us in a significant, respectful, full of grace way to others. And if that's how you're feeling, I encourage you to grab the resources there. I encourage you to come on out to significant conversations. Maybe actually talk to me or fire me an email, check in at the office just to let us know that you're planning on coming. It'll be worth your time. It'll be fantastic. So, all right, so let me ask you this question now. What is the story that you're sharing? What is the story that you're sharing? What really is it? So let me put it to you in this way. The story actually reflects Jesus well, okay? It actually, like when you're telling the story, whether it's with word or with your, you know, your life, because, I mean, you're doing both all the time. Anyhow, when you do that and it actually reflects Jesus properly or well, is when lives are lived for the glory and love of God and for the good and love of others. You see, when we're sharing the story of Jesus well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. God's getting the glory. You're speaking for the benefit of the other person. You're doing it with respect and value to that other person. See, that's who Jesus was. And when we have encountered Jesus personally, that's how we will live and speak to others. See, when we encounter Jesus personally, our reason, if you like, our how and our why we do and do not do what we do will change significantly. When we find the healing of Jesus, when we find the hope of Jesus, when we discover it, when we actually really live it, when it's something that enters into the core of who we are, when we experience the forgiveness of Jesus, when we discover what enemy forgiveness is really all about, I mean, we're living for the glory of God and the good of others. When we discover that we are His children, I mean, the God of the universe, right? Like the creator of all that we see and live and experience, that God, you are His child. You are created in His image. As God looks down and He sees this congregation, He can see through the roof and He can see this group of people. But when He sees this group of people, not only that, but He sees you. You matter to Him. You matter to Him. And nothing you can do will ever change that. Good or bad, you can't, you know, ratchet up His love any higher than it is right now. Like, He just flat out loves you. And nothing you can do can separate you from that love. And folks, what I have discovered personally in my own life and what I have helped others over the years discover is that how powerful that truth is. your identity. Like God loves you. You know, for God so loved Dan, Kim, Cindy, John. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son that we might have life, that we might not die, that we might find life in the midst of all that we experience, all that we live here on earth. When that starts to take root in our lives, all of a sudden other people begin to matter to us as they did to Jesus. It changes how we interact. We matter to him, and then all of a sudden our neighbors begin to matter more. Our coworkers begin to matter more. We start treating our enemies differently. Like it's a radical, crazy kind of thing, but it's significant. When I started dating Carla, 35 years ago. Wasn't doing the math, but we've been married for 33, okay, so it was tricky math. Had to quickly figure out how long we dated for. There was a bunch of stuff that didn't matter to me at all, and I mean at all, until I started relating to Carla. And you see, what started happening was the things that mattered to her began to matter to me. And isn't that the way relationships are supposed to be? Now, I didn't become Carla. She didn't become me. But that's what happens in relationship. And you see, when you're in a relationship with Jesus, like the things that really matter to him will begin to really matter to you. And the things that really matter to him are you and your neighbor and your boss and your direct report and the people you do recreation with, right? Like, it's people. It's your family members. So when we're sharing this story, and when we're talking about, and when our lives are beginning to be transformed, we begin to discover that we've got opportunity to enter into some conversation with people around Jesus. And one of the verses that Peter talks here about this whole idea about how to share Jesus, he says, one of the things he says there is that always have a reason, always have an answer, I should say, for the reason, the hope that you have. Always set apart Jesus as your Lord. And discover the answer to the reason for the hope that you have. And he said, but do this with gentleness and respect. I love that because it talks about this idea of bringing together this answer, this idea, this reason, but it's for the hope that you have. See, We can spend all our time talking about the Wikipedia page of Jesus, but if there's not a relational, you know, hope-filled experience there, it's going to come off pretty cold. What is the answer? What is your hope? What's it based off of? Is it based off of just a historical reality? No, bring together the personal, because when it becomes personal, it becomes powerful. But do this with gentleness and respect. You see, there's such a connection between how we do something and what we say. We talk about the idea of being a hypocrite. While they say one thing, they do another. Hey, that can be true of us. I love what Michael Frost says. He says, Christ followers are to live questionable lives. And the reason we're to live questionable, I mean, that can go both ways, right? That can go a couple of different ways. There's actually some people out there on social media who call themselves Christians, and I'm like, can someone cut their account off? Like, they are not doing Jesus any good service right now. But Jesus' life was questionable, wasn't it? I mean, isn't that why some people will go away kind of intrigued, like, whoa, that's pretty serious stuff. What? Love your enemy? Like, forgive? Huh. I don't know. That's kind of hard. You see, we are to live lives that have been so impacted by Jesus that when we're the ones who receive the abuse at work, that we don't just wade in like maybe others have and try to take our strip off the person. When we're sitting around the campfire or the lunchroom or I don't know, wherever it is, and just stuff turns to conversation about somebody else and people are just hacking down that other person, that we don't just wade in like everybody else, that we actually recognize that that person matters as well and try to bring some semblance of, hey, this isn't the kind of conversation we should be having. Like our lives are to be changed, how we parent, how we husband and wife, how we boss, how we live and work as employees should change. Our conversation should be full of grace and seasoned with salt and respectful. To the point where it's questionable. Where people are wondering what is going on. Titus, Paul wrote to his friend Titus, and it's interesting. He lists off a whole bunch of relationships from verses chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and he talks about, you know, older men, and likewise he says to older women, and he talks about to husbands and wives and children, and he talks about to those who are slaves, who actually had, like, slave masters. And he said, as Christ followers, live in such a way as the story or the teachings of Jesus are attractive. In other words, the things that Jesus taught us and how we are to relate to one another and how we're to interact with others, make sure that your actions line up with that. And when it does, there's a power and a significance to that story. And so as I asked you at the beginning, I asked you, what do you love about Jesus? I wanted you to just try not to think just solely about teachings. I wanted you to think about what, in relational terms. I want to ask you a question in a slightly different way. Take some time to think about this. What has your journey, your time, if you like, with Jesus been like? How has it shaped you? Is there a difference? Is it molding you? Are you making decisions? Are you going through seasons of life recognizing that Jesus is right there with you? I can look back to numerous times over my journey, my life with Jesus, and there are times where, for sure, Jesus has made a significant difference. And the difference between that and when it's just kind of, I've just kind of gone off on my own is that, you know, when Jesus makes a difference in my situation is when I'm actually looking to him as being a God who is actually alive and who is with me. Like I'm living the reality of who he is, and I'm interacting with him. I'm talking to him. Sometimes it's just within my own head. I'm just praying to him. Sometimes as I'm praying or talking out loud, I'm just asking him, God, I need you to help me through this situation. I don't understand. I saw you when you lived on earth. You reacted and interacted that way. I need that kind of courage and strength right now. Versus other times where something hits me and I just react my own way and just get myself into all kinds of fits and challenges. Is he making a difference on your life today? Is he continuing to impact you? The author of the book of Revelation, there's seven letters to the churches, and in one of the letters, it says there, you know what, maybe you need to return. It's a letter to a church, so just like us. So maybe this is for you this morning. Maybe you need to return to your first love. Maybe you need to turn back to those things that you first did in that relationship with Jesus. And allow him to rekindle and refire that and restore a new, fresh hope for today and then tomorrow the same and the day after. Because although Jesus is a historical reality, he is alive today. And although I had a starting point to my relationship with Jesus, I can't just live off that past. I need to live in it today. Because that's the story today of what God is doing in my life. And it's the same for you. Sharing Jesus. Now, something happened at my home group. We got a group that meets in our home on Wednesday nights. And we often have some fascinating conversation. We have a lot of fun. But this past week, something was said that scared the daylights out of me. And it was said that it sounded like I was kind of talking in such a way that ministry, like God's work, like when God works, is mostly on a Sunday. Boy, I hope you don't ever think that that's what I think. Listen, we want God to work powerfully here. When we gather together, we're praying, God, would you meet us? Would you do something significant, powerful? But man, we want you to understand. I want you to understand. When you leave here, God goes with you. You see, more of the story of Jesus is shared Monday to Saturday and to a way larger audience than I'm sharing with today. I mean, think about how many relationships and interactions you've got and the opportunity to share Jesus, whether it's just through your actions or whether it comes to some conversation. Like, you just start multiplying that out. Like, God wants to work through your, like, come Sundays, we need to gather together. The history of the church always has done that. Gather together, worship together, been inspired and challenged. But please understand, when you leave here, the Spirit of God goes with you. And you get to go share that story and live that story out to the world around you. And that's not only our call, but it's our privilege. It's our opportunity. So please understand, Monday to Saturday matters. Don't just live off of Sunday. Interact with Jesus every day. Lean into him. Let the Spirit of God empower you and embolden you as you walk with Jesus in this new year. I mean, it's why we talk about this 5-5-5 thing. Remember that? Five people, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Could you pray for them? Friends, neighbors, I don't know, family members that don't know the hope of Jesus, that don't know the story of Jesus, that don't know the forgiveness, the reason, the purpose, like just the healing of Jesus. We have a hurting world out there who need him, and you get to be the ones to share him with them. Let's pray. God, we are looking forward to what you're going to do this year, how you are going to take the story, your story, how you are going to continue to shape and mold and inspire and bring hope and purpose and reason, forgiveness, grace and mercy, that you're going to use us to share the story. And God, we would pray that it would be seasoned with salt, full of grace, that it would be done in such a way that there's a respect for those who we're doing life with, we're sharing the story with. God, that it would be an increasing value in each of our lives, that people matter. Those people who oppose us, those people that maybe annoy us, those people that we've been around for a long time, that each and every person that we encounter matter to you. And that value might just raise in our lives. Those people who are maybe outcasts, that maybe we actually have to build into our life a way to come alongside them. God, maybe in our lives we've built a life in such a way that we just never come across people like that. Maybe what you're saying to us this morning is we need to build a way to go find some outcasts that they might now become just a part of community. I don't know what it is exactly you're saying, but I know that You're reminding me, you're reminding each of us today that you are alive today and that you want to relate to us today. You want to continue to make impact and change and bring value and strength and courage to our lives. So thank you for that. May we go with your story. May we share it gladly, both in action and in word, for your glory, God, and truly for the good of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.